Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Good evening and welcome to Joy 99.7 FM and to tonight's edition of Springboard, your virtual university. Thank you for joining us on your favorite leadership and personal development broadcast. This is the platform where your personal value is enriched on a weekly basis. And as you matriculate today, get ready for useful nuggets in business, career, finance, talent, and leadership development. Springboard is brought to you by Legacy and Legacy and your superstation Joy 99.7 FM. The broadcast is made possible by the kind courtesy of, in our opinion, Ghana's finest brands. Springboard says a big thank you to MTN, MTN Pulse, Just Be, the Enterprise Group, Enterprise Your Advantage, UMB Bank, UMB Speed Up, Digibank, Let's Go, and Access Pension Trust, your reliable partner in pensions. Special thank you to the graphic business for your support in this adventure. So, thank you for joining us on Joy FM and also live on Facebook. We are streaming on Springboard, your virtual university page. Of course, also on the Graphic app, as well as UMB page. So you can find us and you can join this interesting conversation. My name is Albert Okran. I'm doing this with the support of the Virtual Academic Board comprising Comfort, Matthew, Priscilla, David, Amos, Jojo, and Emmanuel. Special dedication tonight to Reverend PJ Markwe for the global release of your album, your music album yesterday. The album is called Nyomoda. Nyomoda. Nyomokra, why doesn't he have G in it? Comfort, why doesn't Nyomo have G in it? Nyomoda. There must be G before the M. All right, so congratulations to Reverend PJ Markwe on that release, and we share in your joy. So the big question tonight, just how much has the world of work changed? We'll find out in a few minutes from my guests, Miles Christian Hagan, head of channels at UMB Bank. He'll be joining us in a few minutes to break down the subject, and we'll also be raising on the line Naoyo Kumoji and my sister Louisa Lai. Just find out how much has the world of work changed in the past half year or so. But before that, this Thursday evening will be a blast as I welcome on the Springboard Network a man we deeply respect and appreciate. Kwaku Bediado, CEO of Stanchart in South Africa and Southern Africa, joins us on Thursday to talk about managing in an era of disruption. In an era of disruption, how do you manage? Whatever you do this Thursday, join us on Zoom as we break down the future of the continent and the future of businesses and where you as an individual must situate yourself. It's on our Facebook pages. You can find the Zoom link there, but just in case you want to write down the Zoom ID number, 861-3545-3201. 861-3545-3201. Tonight, just download the UMB Speed app and get ready for a blast, because tonight it's the turn of UMB on the show. But before that, my COVID-19 awareness tip from MTN, the one I don't like. Sanitize your phones, your keys, your wallet, your laptop, and other personal items daily. I have a special commissioner for sanitizing. She does it by immersion. I don't need to do it myself. She does it by immersion. As a result, all my keys are rusted. Miles, my keys are rusted. No. But it's part of the protocols. So they are immersed every day. All right. So the wow moment for this June is the peak, the climax of what we've been doing for the past 3 months. And so if you have missed out, like somebody said, the whole family has been praying that they will win one of these wow moments. In the month of June, everything takes a new turn as we go through the grand finale of our wow moments and climax the global convocation of Springboard, the digital version. So today, one winner, not two, one winner carries away 1,000 Ghana cedis cash, just like that. And in addition, you get free coaching for the whole month of June from Comfort and I on talent discovery, development, and deployment. You would also get a set of books and audio materials from Comfort and I, and guess what? A free subscription of Graphic Plus on the Graphic app for a whole year. And that is the deal. Wow, Graphic News Plus. So you get to download the Graphic app and enjoy the daily Graphic, the Mirror Graphic, Business Graphic, Sports, Junior Graphic on your phone for a whole year. One person carries all this away on this special UMB day on Springboard, your virtual university. How do you win? Very simple. You can pray, but the real deal. Answer three questions from the conversation we'll be having with our guests, Miles Hagan, Louisa Lai, and Naoyo Kumoji. And once you answer the three questions, you just take it away. If you're the first to answer, that's you. But note, two questions will be from the presentations, and one will be the compelling need for coaching. Why do you think you need coaching on the issue of talent? Why do you think you need talent coaching? You must give me compelling reasons. Once you do, the quiz mistress, Comfort, will sign off so that you can receive your 1,000 Ghana cedis. As for Miles, he's ready to give it to you. You got to do the business. All right, so tonight, the topic, digitization and service delivery in the face of COVID-19 disruptions. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt that this is the most disruptive experience since the Great Depression, if I must add, since the Second World War. It's almost as if a whole century of work has been decimated in 6 months. Where does that leave you? Where does that leave your company? What is the future of your industry? Will it come back? Must you do something differently to be able to earn a living and look after your family? This is a huge discussion that will start today and continue on Thursday, and we'll be back again next week. And the whole of the month of June, this will be the theme running through various dimensions of this. I'm joined by our dear friend here at Springboard, Miles Hagan of UAB Bank. Mark, Miles, good to see you.
Hi, Reverend Albert. Great to see you too.
It's always a blessing.
Yes.
So this topic, since we put it out, has attracted, in fact, the conversation began on Facebook even before we got right into the studio. So some very interesting perspectives.
Yes.
How big a conversation is this? And if I may, let me put it out from the belly of the discussion. How much has business and service delivery changed as a result of COVID-19?
I'd say it's been quite significant. There was this data I was looking at from McKinsey and Company, and it gave the trends, especially in the American market. And you could see there's been a transformation, especially with banking, entertainment, groceries, apparel, utilities, telecom. When it comes to Ghana, it's also been very, very, very disruptive. Presently, you have a lot of most workplaces are looking at working from home. So you have a lot of digital teamwork. There's also conferences and seminars now online. Even churches today, those who decided not to open are still doing digital church services. There's also a lot of local sourcing and local capacity building. And that, I'll say, has been a game changer. We've realized you have a lot of local potential. And if you look at especially the fintech market, you realize there's a lot of new technologies that are coming out. And these are some of the disruptions that are transforming the landscape. Most IT managers too have become very agile. Now there's a lot of work, a lot of things that need to be done. So regardless of your sector, if it's banking, you see it there. If it is industry, there's also a lot of transformation, courtesy of COVID-19. Yes.
You make COVID-19 almost sound like a blessing.
Well, I wouldn't say it is. It has just brought to light certain things. And something like the existing protocols. Sanitize, wash your hands regularly. Something we've all known. But now it's become a critical prerequisite. Because if you fail to adhere to it, you could potentially cause your own downfall. So certain things have happened, yes.
But I once heard somebody whisper under her breath, thank God for COVID, because she had executed something digitally that was absolutely impossible. And I could relate to it because I have a church in London that has been inviting me for 22 years nonstop. Wow. And I've been unable to make it. Mm-hmm. But they asked me to do a three-part series, 3 weeks.
Exactly.
And it was just sitting behind, in the evening, sitting behind my desk at home.
Yes.
And I was able to do it.
Exactly.
They were happy. I was happy. Mm-hmm. And it just is absolutely possible because of COVID. It probably triggered it, but it's not really that.
Exactly.
It's COVID that gave you that opportunity.
But that's true.
The awareness that you could do it. Exactly. Let's go to the issue of digital technologies, because it would seem that for almost every example that people would give about how life has changed in COVID or in this COVID-19 era, the conversation gears towards what technology is doing. How much is technology the centerpiece of almost everything COVID?
Yeah, I'd say it's been the catalyst to drive the transformation. And if you really look at the trends, you realize in terms of getting the job done, you need some form of technology. In terms of even communication, and it's been more of the ideas have been there, possibly scattered. Now technology has condensed or consolidated these ideas. So you now have a scope where you can think it, leave it to technology to develop, and then you can utilize. So I'd say technology has been the fulcrum around which all these transformations are happening. Without technology, we'll not be able to move as fast as we want to do.
In your opinion, Amiels, which are the which are the industries that have been disrupted the most, in your opinion? If you just make a shopping list of, a list of the industries that you think these are the ones that have been badly hit or badly disrupted by COVID, which ones would you mention as the top?
Wow, that's a very good one. Maybe if it's local, I would say entertainment. Some of us were looking forward to the usual Igbo White Place. Now, the question is, what's the alternative? If we can't go to National Theatre anywhere, will he now do a digital play for us to watch? So in that scope, yes. In terms of the others, it's been more beneficial, especially in banking. Most institutions were looking at transitioning from the analog way of doing things to a digital way. So I would say there's been a benefit because now most customers will have to adopt to the newer ways of doing banking. So someone who was possibly averse to using the mobile banking app or even USSD now will have to find a way of learning and adapting to it. If it comes to the others that may have lost, definitely tourism, definitely the hotels and all those within that scope, they have been impacted because there is no alternative for them. The best will mean you now render maybe meals online, so you can book, purchase, and then it's delivered. But where you have your big rooms, a big ambience, expecting some patronage, unfortunately, within these times, you may have a dip in the numbers, and your utilities will not change unless, of course, we are taking advantage of the government's incentive. So this is, in my view, some of the things that have been impacted here.
So the two that you will see have lost ground significantly will be entertainment and tourism?
In my scope, yes.
And the two that are doing well or benefiting banking?
I'll say banking and then possibly a bit of, let's say the groceries. We have a few of those outlets who now, in terms of online shopping, so you can book and then to be delivered to you. So you could try with the Melcom, the ShopRite, etc. So they are still in business. And once you adhere to the requisite protocols, you can still enter and then pick the stuff. Yes.
All right. So the big question in all this is, using technology, would you see that you still are able to maintain the pre-COVID productivity levels?
Yes.
Are companies able to maintain the pre-COVID productivity levels in this era?
I believe so. Like I indicated, amongst the new actions are now, most institutions are working from home. And if you have, let's say, your teams, there are some fintechs, for instance, I know, who are actually working electronically. So they can meet on Teams, discuss, go into their various silo scope, and then bring the development. So instances where you've had maybe some form of integration, so there's the virtual private network where, at least in terms of safety and security, there's some connection where you can all still work and share. That has been very positive. Most institutions are using Teams. Some are also using Zoom. So interestingly, I'll say last year, for instance, in my office, we had possibly every 2 days, you have a team of, let's say, innovative experts who come and then share products for you to scope through and then decide on. Now we've been using more of Teams and Zoom. So possibly within a day, you could have about 2 presentations from people who would have come into your office. Another very interesting thing is, instead of being in traffic for longer hours, especially if you're working from home, now we can see there's a lot more productivity. You can wake up at 8, not need to be in traffic for 2 hours. So that 2 hours is now being used for extra work. So some institutions, I'm told, are really driving, working from home, because they are realizing the output has been more significant. So in a nutshell, it's how you plan it, how you capitalize on the opportunities. And if you had developed a level of technology adoption, in this case, your staff are very capable and competent and working towards using the technologies, you can easily go through without any headache.
Digitization and service delivery in the face of COVID-19 disruptions. That's the topic we are discussing tonight on Springboard of Virtual Investing. My guest, Miles Christian Hagan of the UMB Bank. We're looking at which industries have been badly hit by by the COVID-19 disruptions and which ones seem to have benefited. I'm sure when it comes to education, you'll be a bit split down the middle because some are badly hit,
blend.
What about church?
Well, it depends. The bigger, the better. So
really?
Yeah, I believe the bigger churches, have quickly adopted the technology.
It's a conversation with myself. It's 19 minutes past the hour of 7. And if you have thoughts on this subject, send your thoughts or post them on the Facebook stream. Which industries have benefited and which industries are struggling? Share your thoughts with us and let's see what you think. And also, how much has the world of work changed in all this? Now, someone argues that it would be difficult to measure output from the HR perspective in this arrangement that you described so confidently. I mean, when people are working from home, how easy is it to measure their output and ensure that they stay on the straight and narrow?
Okay. I know in some instances, some are adopting call cascades. So there's a certain set time by which you'll be expected to engage the, let's say, either your senior or subordinates within your team. We also have instances where some institutions, per the kind of system they've set up, so once you log into your machine, there's a system that can check the level of activity on the PC, so they know how long you've been using it. So it's not about you just turning on the machine and going to do your own thing, but the technology is available to actually track the kind of output. You also have clear timelines in terms of delivering what you need to do. And some institutions have also set a daily routine where there's a team engagement. So you either have your team or Zoom chat, give an update. There's also a PowerPoint or an Excel that would stipulate what you've done. So you have your clear assignments and you have to fill in and you give the updates to your superior for them to at least confirm that work has been done. So it's all about having a process clearly mapped and then easily trackable.
Right.
Once you have that, you
let me bring Louisa on and find out. Louisa Lai, good evening, Louisa.
Hi, good evening, Albert.
How's everything today?
Everything is well, thanks. How are you two?
Learning every day. So in this pre-springboard discussion, you seem to be leaning towards the fact that in spite of the COVID-19 disruptions, there's some positives out of it in terms of efficiency. Do you hold the position that efficiency has increased as a result of the change in the way we work?
Absolutely. I would say that efficiency hasn't declined. I'm yet to make an analysis or an assessment to say it's gone up compared to what it was before. Before COVID, I mean, everything was going on all right. You know, we didn't have to worry about anything, as in meeting people and having meetings and following up, supervising and all of that. But now that COVID has happened, I think it's a way the world has been compelled to just do things right and also to explore what our brains can do, because we've got to survive through it anyway. And so what have we got to do differently and more efficiently to get to survive these times? If I look at the workplace, every institution thrives significantly on meetings, because you have to meet your management, you have to meet your team, you have to meet your whoever you have to meet with in the office to make sure that work is ongoing as planned. Now, because of COVID, you can't meet directly, and so you have to devise a way. And like Miles was saying, you can't help but resort to technology. And so we have Zoom meetings, we have Microsoft Teams meetings, other people have Skype meetings and things like that. What I realized, though, is if we are having virtual meetings, then there's no excuse coming from anyone who is coming in late, because from wherever you are, you can connect into the meeting and then make your contribution or participate quite efficiently. We've had situations where staff have to work from home if they are able to do that, depending on your work schedule and depending on your output that is expected. If you can work from home, you're doing that. Now, you wake up in the morning, before COVID, and you have to grapple with traffic. You stay in traffic for more than an hour or two, and that's a whole lot of time being wasted, you know, without any productivity. Now you wake up in the morning. You can wake up at whatever time early in the morning and get onto your computer and start working. You know, so at the end of the day, you would have achieved more than if you were having to drive through traffic and getting to work.
So I recall having to do a working session on phone with one of our partners. And in having that meeting, it just struck me that this meeting was going on at 9:30 p.m. And it was not even as if there was anything wrong. I mean, serious work, and it was 9:30 p.m. The person had been working all day. Louisa, would you say that working from home leads to sometimes longer working hours without you realizing it?
Yeah, because you're so engrossed in your work, especially for those who have clear work to do. If you have clear timelines, you have clear tasks to execute, I mean, you get onto the work and you're working. Unfortunately, you don't even realize that you haven't taken breaks. So you're behind your computer and you're just working. And that also comes with its own challenges, because after every few hours, you just have to stretch out, grab some snack, you know, just to keep healthy and keep fit, because you can't stay seated behind your computer the whole time from morning till night. But yes, I will say commuting time, as in travel time from home to work or from wherever to work, has reduced, and therefore all of that time is going into real productivity if you have real tasks and clear tasks to execute.
Finally, on the lighter side, Louisa, in your post on Facebook, you really annoyed some people when you mentioned that one of the biggest savings, you know what I'm talking about, one of the biggest savings from COVID-19 meetings is that there's no refreshment. In fact, people didn't like you at all.
Absolutely. So if you happen to have your virtual meetings, you can grab your own water or your own snack on your side and have your meeting. You don't need your institution to, you know, buy exotic snack and lunch for meetings that are dragging and dragging on because, and let me just say this, Albert, if we're having personal physical meetings, physical contact meetings, you'd realize that those meetings take much longer because there's a lot of heckling, people are coming in late, and so the moderator of the meeting will probably have to start all over again to discuss what has already been discussed and all of that. So you end up running into several hours when you're having physical contact meetings. Now you're having virtual meetings. Those meetings are, you know, you can connect into the meeting room from wherever. So you cannot say, I am late because I was driving and I was stuck up in traffic and all of that. And so all that time we were spending in long meetings, long physical meetings, after which you'd have to have lunch and, you know, breakfast and snack and water. Sometimes those meetings are even happening in hotels, you know. And so all of that have to be catered to. Now that you're having the meeting virtually, we don't need to spend money on all of those things. And I think that's a lot of cost saving for institutions, because if you're having to make savings on providing lunch for long meetings, now you're having those meetings at a shorter time and everybody is, you know, connecting into the meeting from wherever, and you don't have to spend that much. Those monies can be channeled into other cost centers, because we're living in not ordinary times, and institutions have had to adjust their budgets, do budgetary allocations, provide safety logistics, nose masks, hand sanitizers, face shields, and things like that, which weren't budgeted for before. So if we can make cost savings on some of these budget lines, which would have gone into meetings and training in hotels and, you know, foreign trainees, you know, very, very prestigious institutions, you're having to pay so much money for those things. All of those foreign training and capacity building elsewhere, physical travel and all of those things have been cut out. And so you can now reroute your resources into other more important things that will assist the organization to stay afloat and also to keep their staff safe.
Louisa, before you go, health issues aside, purely from the angle of productivity, COVID-19, blessing or curse?
I'll say it's a blessing, and I'll explain. It's a blessing because we've been compelled to do things right, things that we knew were right anyway, which we weren't doing. So hand washing, keeping clean, not talking when you're not supposed to be talking. All of those things have happened now, and we have been compelled to do things right and also been compelled to use our brain power to survive. I think it's a blessing in disguise.
Luis Alayi, thank you very much for those insightful thoughts.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Albert.
Right. Let's do this again another time.
Absolutely.
Right. So Luisa joined us with her thoughts because we had this big conversation on Facebook, and she shared some thoughts that people were like, whoa, those are very, very interesting dynamics. Miles, your thoughts about Luisa's angle. She says, one, meetings are shorter, meetings are more efficient, people literally spend longer working hours and more productive working hours, and very importantly, there is savings on food and beverage as we cut out all those lunches and all those refreshments and all those expensive travels to conferences. What do you think of that?
I agree perfectly, and it's very true. Like I stated earlier in our pre-discussion, you realize for my team, for instance, we now have a series of meetings in a day. So you could have just an interval of 5 to 10 minutes between a Zoom and a Microsoft Teams meeting or even a Skype meeting, unlike where you would have had to wait possibly an hour for your guests to arrive and then engage you. So definitely, there's been a lot of improvement when it comes to that. Yes.
Right. Let's find out from Naoyo, who's our next resource person, are these changes permanent and what must we do to take advantage of technology? Because when all is said and done, these are technology-driven changes. So let's find out what Naoyo thinks. Naoyo, good evening. Hello, Naoyo.
Hello.
All right, so you are a content, social media content person. In all this, let me start where I ended off with Luisa. The health issues aside, the medical issues aside, there's care and everything aside, in terms of productivity, has this disruption been a blessing or a curse?
Good evening, Rev Okran. Thank you so much, and good evening to your listeners. This has been a bit of both, actually. I can't use the word blessing, but there's been some upsides for several companies, with those especially who have been online already, who have already taken their business to another level by adding digital platforms, you know, to their strategies. So for them, it was more of an acceleration, you know, to push more of their products and their services out there to their existing customers and getting more customers or new customers in as well. You know, because honestly, I have spoken to some small businesses, those who are running small businesses on Instagram, on Facebook, and they're like, look, they have sold a lot. They have sold a lot during this era, because the thing is, everyone is staying home, and now there's a demand for, you know, small businesses that have opened on Instagram, on Facebook. So everyone is like, okay, where can I find baby clothes? And they are searching on Instagram like, oh, okay, this shop, and they are buying online. So in terms of, you know, the upsides, businesses that have really tapped into digital platforms, I would say it's their cocoa season. Yeah.
It would then seem that it is businesses that had not made a digital adoption move mm-hmm. that are suffering.
Yes, so I would say businesses that have been a bit laggard in adopting digital tools are now like, it's like, if I should say, the fire is rising at the bottom of their business structure. Like, they are now scrambling to get things in place. You know, what can we do online? Is our e-commerce website working? Oh, let's update our website. Let's put more products there. It's like now they are all rushing and, you know, to catch up, you know. And we have discussed a lot about digital adoption over the years and social media training workshops, etc. And it's like some people are like, oh, I don't think I need it now. Now it's like those who adopted early are winning, and those who have become laggards are unfortunately now trying to catch up. And there's a lot of catching up to do because it's now they have to put in place their digital strategy, like who they are going to train in the company to handle, whether it's their e-commerce platform, the digital skills that every employee, even those working at home, it's like now everyone needs digital skills. Everyone in the company, in the organization, needs digital skills, from email marketing to Facebook advertising, e-commerce platforms. Everyone needs that awareness, and they need to know how to run these systems, because that's, we've always been saying it, this is the future. Digital is the future, and we are in the future.
Now, let's speak to the changes that we are seeing. Some keep sitting down waiting and saying, definitely things will come back to normal. In your opinion, will things come back to normal as they were before?
Things will not be the same. If you are to be sitting somewhere and be like, oh, it's going to go back to... No, this is a new normal, and we have to accept it. We have to recognize the period that we are in. Internationally, like, businesses are... they've changed their systems. There's now contactless airline check-ins, you know, and restaurants are using, if restaurants in New York, for example, they are all adopting to using disposable plates, because the thing is, because of the virus and you don't know who has it, you can't use, you know, ceramic plates anymore. You can't use metal spoons or cutlery anymore. So there's all these changes going around. If you say you're going to sit down and go back to the old way of things, nobody is going to come to your business. And customers who have become enlightened and they are becoming aware of the changes and what the virus has caused. So customers will more likely gear towards organizations that have put in place, you know, new strategies or digital solutions to make it convenient and safe for them to, you know, to use, you know, their products and services. So customers are also being very aware. And they are more likely to come to you when you have the hygiene protocols in place, or when you have a safe and a hygienic working environment, for example. Or customers will be like, oh, this company, they really are very serious about their contactless delivery services. You know, oh, let me use them because it's safer. You know, so that is the new normal. If you sit down and you say, oh, I'm going to wait, or things are going to go back, no, you are going to lose out a lot. You are going to lose out.
So safety is going to be very big going forward. Let me ask you the last question. What are the risks involved in using online services, and how can we ameliorate these risks?
Well, online services, I mean, everything comes with a risk, you know. And if you're new with online services, it's good to be aware of the risks that are involved. So, for example, some people are like, oh, but I don't want to put my Visa card online. You know, somebody could scam me, etc. I mean, there are safe ways to put your credit card online, especially if it's a trusted site. So, for example, phishing emails, people can easily get fake emails purporting to be from reputable organizations. And the email could ask you for your password or to ask you for your credit card. The thing is, you must always be aware of some of these risks and double check. You don't just enter your password or your credit card into an email that you've gotten without even calling your banking manager or your bank manager to confirm that this thing that I'm doing, is it actually authentic? You know, another risk is inadequate information about products and services. So you might end up maybe buying something that is not what it is, you know. So people can upload fake products, for example, on Instagram or Facebook, and then what you get is not actually what you saw. But by then, you may have paid for the product already, and it's too late, and the money has gone, you know. So that's one of the risks. Another risk is also, if I should call it more like poor website design, you know, where customers are not having good user experience. So as a business, you must be aware of having an e-commerce platform or a website where users just come in. Their online shopping is seamless, and from start of, you know, perusing through the goods all the way to their carts, their shopping carts, and then they pay, and everything is seamless, and they get their products on the day that, you know, they want. you know, so you have to ensure that user experience is top-notch. And it's a risk. If you don't have that good user experience, people will just come onto your website and be like, this is so confusing, and then they'll abandon the cart.
Thank you very much, Noyu, and have a beautiful, beautiful evening.
Thank you, Rev. Okran. Have a good evening.
Thank you. All right, so those are the thoughts of Naoya Kumoji. She's a social media strategist. She says companies already digital were able to accelerate their growth. Those who were laggards at digital adoption are playing catch up even till now. She says small businesses on Instagram and Facebook have been able to sell a lot because people are looking for ways to get things delivered to them. She says it's the new normal, and if you are assuming that things will go back, It won't go back in the way that we've been used to. But she mentions two risks that I would like to highlight. The first one is fake emails asking for your password or credit card details. And the second one is a poor website or e-commerce design or interface that makes it difficult for your I almost said your loved ones, your stakeholders and clients to deal with you. Quick response from you, Miles, before you open the phone lines.
Yes. So to top up, also with the risk, we have identity theft, which is also rising. There are also a bit of cyber attacks. And even on the mobile interface, SIM swaps, if you're not really careful, there's also data theft where some people can, in a way, manage to get some information. You know, because everything is online or virtual, it's likely certain information can be stored. And as much as possible, we in the financial institutions advise our customers to look out for these, at least try and make sure you take certain updates on your phone seriously. And then don't just go to any website, check and confirm if it's ISO certified, if it's PCI DSS compliant. All those are critical to ensure, at least in terms of security and safety, you have a little bit of protection on your side.
All right, so let me give you the list again. I mean, fake emails asking for your password and credit card details. Two, poor website and e-commerce interface design. Three, identity theft. Four, cyber attacks. Five, SIM swaps. And six, data theft. Very, very important instruction coming to us from our resource person. So I'm going to go for a brief commercial break. When I come back, I'm going to open the phone lines. I'm very desirous of giving somebody the treat of your lifetime, and comfort is poised in her white shirt. All right, so this is the prize that is at stake. When we come back from this commercial break, the prize at stake is 1,000 Ghana cedis from UMB Bank, free coaching on talent discovery, development, and deployment coming from Comfort and I, as well as a set of books and audio materials, and then free subscription on the graphic app for a whole year. And that means you get the graphic, daily graphic, the mirror graphic, business graphic, sports, and graphic, junior graphic on your phone for one whole year, June to June. Charlie, I tell you something. When I come back from this break, the number to call 030-221-6541 or 0244-340-437. A big salute to our partners, UMB Bank, UMB Speed Up, Digibank, Let's Go, MTN Pulse, Just Be, the Enterprise Group, Enterprise Your Advantage, and Access Pension Trust, your reliable partner in pensions. Let's go for a break. When we come back, this is the show. It's your turn.
When you don't have the Enterprise Advantage app, you're not in control.
Boss.
Yes, Akwesi.
I'm at where they sell the coats. What size do you like?
Ah, what coats?
Coats. Office coats.
Ah, I said get me a quote. Quotation from Enterprise.
What?
Oh.
Save yourself from the stress. Take advantage of the Enterprise Advantage app. Make your claims, check statements, request for a quote, and buy a policy from any of our subsidiaries. What's more, you can also get health tips, traffic information, find mechanic shops, and more on your Enterprise Advantage app. Download the Enterprise Advantage app on Google Play and Apple Store now. Here is to 95 years of trust. Enterprise, your advantage.
So everyone says I'm a Kosia filler, but it's not like I'm nosy or go out to find out the latest filler. It's just that I get 50 megabytes of data free after paying for only the first minute of every call. And so I just keep discovering stuff minute after minute. That's how come I was minding my business, scrolling through my timeline, and I found out Coco has a new baby. Oh, and lastly, I learned Ken won the lottery. You see, Ken is my brother's friend. So hello, Look who's about to roll with the rich and famous.
Enjoy even more value with MTN Free After One. You only pay for the first minute of your call on MTN Free After One. And the rest is free. Plus, you enjoy free 50 megabytes worth of data to browse your favorite sites. Compare where? Compare there. So dial star 315 hash to sign up. Be day for you everywhere you go. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you intend to sustain yourself when you...
It is 16 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock, and this is Springboard, your virtual university. This is that big conversation we're having about digitization and service delivery, especially in the era of COVID-19 and its disruptions. So the phone lines are open now. Let's find out who wants to win that huge UMB bank treat. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Your name, where are you calling from, please?
I'm Ezekiel Otunfo, calling from Medina.
Did you say Ezekiel?
Yes.
Ezekiel Otunfo?
Yes, please.
Tell you, you're a big man. Your name is not easy. All right, so Ezekiel, hold on, and then let me hand you over to my boss, Comfort, and she would like to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay. Good evening, Ezekiel. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
Fantastic. Ezekiel, both Miles and Naoyo mentioned some risks. Just name just two risks that people might come across if when they're doing business online. Two risks.
Fake emails and then inadequate information about the product and services. Or poor website design and then data test.
Fantastic. You've done fantastic well. Okay, so the second question to you this evening. Which industries have benefited from COVID-19?
Sorry?
Which industries, which sectors have benefited from COVID-19?
Grocery or online shops and then banking.
Now, this is kind of your last question. And I'm sure you would get it because it's very easy. Which industries have been disrupted?
The industries that have been disrupted is tourism. That is hotels.
Pardon?
And then...
All right. And then
entertainment. And then he stated an example about Uncle Bo White's play, which people are unable to go because of the distancing protocols.
All right, so Ezekiel got the two answers. You got the three questions, correct, Comfort?
Yes. So Ezekiel, please call back, and our team would I'm sure they've taken your details already, but just in case they haven't, please call back. And you have qualified to get Miles' big reward, as well as the coaching session that we promised you. Congratulations, Ezekiel.
All right, so Ezekiel gets to carry away everything just like that. and the man ran away before he could tell him he had won. But that's what this discussion is all about. And so if you can raise Ezekiel back on the line, let's find out how he feels about the experience and how he feels about having won all that in one go. So Ezekiel is our big winner for tonight. Stand by for the Game Changer segment. But Miles, before we bring Juju on for the Game Changer segment, let's find out what is the bank doing to ensure that clients continue to experience the quality that they were experiencing before this disruption. I mean, this whole conversation about before and after will continue, but in your opinion, what is the bank, or from your perspective, what is the bank doing to ensure seamless, continuous value to your clients?
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah. So UMB, for instance, customized the UMB speed up for a very specific game. The key thing is virtually every banking service we offer is available on the app, and that's open to our retail as well as SME customers. For corporate clients, we've also revamped our internet banking platform.
Okay.
So you can actually virtually do all in the retail as well as in the corporate ecosystem. We've also finalized our contactless for our cards. So you can virtually do most card transactions contactless. We've always had a cardless service for our customers. So you don't need to necessarily have a card and cash out, which means you can even send e-tokens to someone. Maybe you need to make payments. He or she can go to any of our terminals, cash out. And we have over 70 terminals throughout Ghana. So in terms of being able to access, you can. We've revamped our payments, collections, and transaction services. Likewise, our remittance banking. So any request from any customer, if it means we facilitating cash collections electronically, that can be done within a very short time. One thing we'll also add is, in terms of service delivery, we have our SME, we have our premium banking, we have virtually all these services available. And you can check our website, you can call our contact center. So if you have any questions, there's nothing banking UMB cannot help you do. And all you need to do is to just go onto the Speed app, connect on our website, ask your questions, and we'll be ready to help you. And we've also ensured that every information required is available. So you check it on the website, you check it on the app, and anywhere UMB, you'll get well informed.
Would you say that the first thing that anyone who wants to enjoy this experience must do is to download the app?
That's the first bit. Once you even download it, what you see will make you want to do more banking with UMB.
All right, Siki first, the UMB Speed up, and all other things shall be added onto you. Let me put Ezekiel back on the line. I mean, you can't have a name of a prophet and then run away halfway through. You, just when you're about to receive your reward on the Sunday. Hello, Ezekiel. Hello, Ezekiel.
Hello. Yes.
Ezekiel, tell me about yourself. What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher, a private teacher. I teach in a private school. I'm so happy. Hello.
You sound like someone who's been laughing since you went on the phone.
Hello.
Ezekiel.
Yes.
You sound like somebody who has been laughing since you went on the phone.
Yes, I've been laughing and jumping all over. I'm so happy.
So, Ezekiel, as a teacher, I'm sure that the 1,000 CDs will be a very, very welcome addition to your Sunday evening in the month of June.
It will do so much for me.
Just give me an idea, just before you go off. How has the education sector been in this COVID-19 era? Your own work. Are you still at home or you're back in school?
I'm home. No, we are not. I teach basic school, so I'm not even part of those who will be going. I don't teach from three, so I'm not. It means that I'll still continue to be home. I don't even know when we are going back.
You may not know when you are going back, but one thing you know for sure is that you've qualified not just to win 1,000 Ghana CDs from UMB Bank tonight, but you also are getting free coaching from Comfort and I for a whole month of June digitally. And then you also are winning a set of books and audio materials from us and a subscription from Graphic for a whole year. And that's all yours, Ezekiel.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much. I'm really, really grateful. I've always been trying, and it, I don't know. It just happened that it came through today, and I'm so grateful and so happy.
All right, so this is the day the Lord has made, Ezekiel, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. Thank you for calling into the show, and let's do this again another time, Ezekiel. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
So Ezekiel is the lucky winner today from UMB, and Miles, I'm sure you're very happy to give him the reward. That's
very
what
much,
you
did. Very much.
You did says that's you.
Yeah,
you like people happy. Let's go for the game changer segment with Jojo. And Jojo, what do you have for us today?
This one is a struggle for me because losing your glasses is a pretty awful experience. It's two things, right? You can't see because you can't find your glasses, and you can't find your glasses because you can't see. And I'm sure you can see where this is going, right? So this week, I lost my glasses after I fell asleep in the living room. And I woke up disoriented, and I started searching everywhere for them. I even asked two people for help. We looked high and we looked low. We searched under couches, we were tossing pillows. And 3 hours later, we just sat down defeated. And then my brother Ray appeared. And after I explained the situation, he asked if I checked behind the couch. And I said, of course. He turned on his flashlight and stepped behind the couch. Within a minute, he stepped out with the glasses and a smirk on his face. So how did he find the glasses so quickly? It's because Ray had knowledge that I didn't. This week, our game changer is assumptions. Ray had lost his phone in that couch before and had found it in a hidden compartment. Because of that experience, his assumptions on where the glasses could be were very different from mine. It was a funny moment, but that wrong assumption cost me 3 hours of my life. Unfortunately, the same situation plays out in the business world. The actual market for Kodak was 10 times bigger than they thought it was for digital cameras in 2005. So they decided to ignore it, and that led to their bankruptcy eventually. So how do we seek to avoid fatal assumptions in our businesses? Step one, seek truth. For each key decision, assess what you think to be true and assess what you know to be true. Step two, assess truth. For each assumption you find, consider the impact if it was proven to be false. And step three, test the truth. For each major assumption, run a small experiment to verify it before you scale up. Author Dennis Waitley put it best, stick to your convictions but be ready to abandon your assumptions. This week, let's assess the foundational assumptions of our businesses. Do they really hold true? This has been The Game Changer with Jojo Okran. Have a phenomenal week.
Miles, I like your conclusion.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Can I big chaotic shout out to Eriku Orekurampofu of Joy Sports. Charlie, this glasses today. There's a story behind the story. All right. Gigi, thanks for the Game Changer segment. Very, very insightful and very, very inspiring. All right. So, Miles, we've had a very interesting discussion about technology, and for me, I think that the fact that we can even talk about something as disruptive as COVID-19 and see a blessing in it is, for me, the big lesson for today. I'm going to come back to Comfort to close us with her own big takeouts. But if you could give us your closing thoughts for today, and then also give us the contact center number that people can call. You said they should download the app. They should call the contact center. By the way, talking about the app, Ezekiel, please go to the Google Play Store or the App Store and download the UMB Speed App, because Matthew is trying to send you the money now. So just download the UMB Speed App and we'll send you the money in cash right away. All right, Miles.
Yes, Rev. So thank you very much. In summary, I would say, the future is not what you stumble into, but it's what you create.
Mm.
Now, we've had this pandemic, and the best option now is we need to prepare ourselves. And what is critical is we need to embrace digital transformation. And I would say we all need to become digital transformers, which means you need to adapt to newer things, newer technologies, and let's try and drive a new level of innovation. The thoughts are there. Let's put the ideas onto paper and utilize it. UMB is also here for you. In terms of banking services, you can rely on UMB to offer you the best of the best. And in terms of contacting, our contact center number, toll free, that's 0800-100-880. And that's available for MTN, Vodafone, and Airtel Tigo. I'll mention it again. 0800-100-880. So you can call us 24/7. We also have the landline, that's 0302-633-988. 0302-633-988. And virtually, just check anything, myumbbank.com is UMB, and you'll get all the information you require, and we'll be more than ready to engage. Interestingly, while here, one of the branches sent me a chat. They are going to find Ezekiel and open an account for him tomorrow morning. So you should expect us first in the morning. By 7, you should be prepared and we are coming.
Charlie, man. Let's wrap up you a minute for you to give your one big thing out for today, and then I'll end with Comfort.
Awesome. I think I'll go back to the Game Changer with assumptions, because a lot of what we talked about is how certain businesses have felt left behind in the COVID era. And maybe that could be based on a wrong assumption, right? Maybe you think that because I'm a personal trainer, because I'm a masseur, I can't offer my services in this time. But have you considered perhaps packaging your services in a digital form? For instance, if you were a personal trainer, this would be a great time to record a class that people could take from home, that could earn you income when you're not even there. So
And that definitely is a conversation that we will be having one of these days. Comfort, take it away.
I have been, as a quiz mistress, I've been looking at the things that speakers have shared, and they confirmed one thing that I have, that COVID is indeed a blessing in disguise. And therefore, those of us who want to see digitization as part of our business, we will take advantage of it. We become more efficient. And most importantly, we can even serve more customers and grow our businesses. So I would like to urge our listeners, if we haven't thought of how to become digital, let's start exploring it, because there's a lot of business out there for us.
All right. So next week, Sunday, we bring the president of the ECOWAS Bank for a very, very important discussion on this show. Until we come your way again next week, let me remind you that the Beyond the Lockdown with MFR Power is on, and tonight you're talking about the impact of COVID-19 on showbiz. So here in this show, we're saying that entertainment has been disrupted. Let's listen to Manifest and Co. as they give us their perspective. The show is already underway, so stay with us as we cross over to join MFR Power and the team on Beyond the Lockdown. Please don't go away.
How do you intend to sustain yourself when you retire?
My children will take care of me when I'm retired.
I am a professional. I can work till 80.
Some people leave their retirement to chance. How are you planning yours? Your attitude today can help you avoid struggling to survive when you retire. With 50 Ghana Cedis monthly investment in the Access Pension Plan, you can accumulate 700,000 Ghana Cedis in 30 years. This investment will guarantee you retirement income that far exceeds your current income. Visit www.accesspension.com to sign up, or call 0302-543-287 or 0544-321-966.